The Word of God in truth and simplicity is what our world needs. The world doesn't need another church. The world doesn't need another TV preacher. The world doesn't need another politician. The world doesn't need more laws. The world needs the truth of God's word. I had an opportunity this week to speak at a drug-free coalition of sorts. And we were invited as PACT to come and just do a quick presentation about what we're doing. And, you know, honestly, when we go there, it's like, what are we going to say? What do we do, you know? And because we don't really have a whole lot of tangible things to hand out to people. We don't have a lot of tangible stuff that we've done. And, but one thing that we have done is this. We have agreed and committed ourselves to our Lord and our Savior and to each other. We will support each other. We work together on events such as the event Good Friday. That was amazing. Such as combined baptisms, if you were at that. That was amazing. Such as events like the Ride for Life that we had last year. How about that? That's coming up September 12th through the 15th, so keep that in your mind. But friends, we hold out hope in any way, shape, and form that we're able to do it. And so I began to tell these 50 or 60 people that were there from countless different agencies across the GLOW area, all right, across the 4 or 5 counties in this area. The sheriff was there. The superintendent of the jails were there. They know us by name because we're working together with them to make a difference in our communities. And as the pastors and I were talking, what things do we say that we do? And it all comes down to, friends, we're not trained per se in substance abuse. We're not trained in this or that, but we are trained in the Word of God. And that is the thing that makes us strong. That is the thing that makes us different than all of the 60 different agencies that were there. What are we bringing to the table to make an effect and bring healing to people's lives? Plain and simple, we're bringing the Word of God in simplicity and in truth. The Word of God changes lives. It's not a 12-step program. It's not another agency that has funding. It is plain and simple, and the Word of God changes people's lives. And sometimes I get discouraged, and because my eyes don't see the things that I want to see happening, or maybe it's not happening fast enough, and you can fill in the blanks. Maybe you have things that discourage you. Maybe the situation with your families discourages you. Maybe your health situation discourages you, and whatever the case may be. But God promised, as Brother Bill was saying today, God promised He would never leave us nor forsake us. He is our hope and our salvation. And that, friends, there's things that the Word of God can do. When you speak the Word of God into people's lives, it does not return empty. But the Bible promises, God promises, that my Word, when it is spoken, will not return to me empty or void, but that it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent out. What was the purpose of sending out God's word? To save people. Always. To save people from what? From sin? Really, themselves. Right? Saving people from themselves or their choices. And there is fulfillment in the life of a believer that speaks the word of God in truth. There are times when the believer feels like, well, I don't have any special anointing, maybe. I don't have any special giftings. I don't play music. I can't sing. I can't, I'm not good at figures. I'm not, you know, and sometimes you feel that way. But you got a mouth, and you can speak. And you can speak. And you can speak a word of encouragement to people. You can speak a word of encouragement to somebody else. And you can change your life, their lives. You don't know where people are when you pass them in the grocery store, at the gas station, at your workplace, at your school. You don't know where people are in their lives. My sister's daughter, 15 years old, tried to take her life, and she almost succeeded. She almost succeeded. They almost lost her. But praise God, she is doing well, and she is on the road to recovery. Hallelujah. Yeah. The Word of God speaks life. And the Bible references the Holy Spirit as living water. Living water. When Jesus was talking with the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, he said to her, "If you knew who it was that is asking you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you what? Living water." And in her mind, she's thinking, okay, I'll take some of that water. That sounds better than this water. How do I get some of that water? I don't want to have to keep coming here every day. It's a pain in my caboose. I don't want to have to do all that stuff. And she's not thinking about what Jesus is talking about. But he said to her, if you knew who it was that was asking you for water, you would have asked him. And he would have given you that living water. That living water, friends, is a spirit, the Spirit of God that wells up inside of us. It fulfills us. It gives us what we need to live and to survive. When we take communion, we are celebrating the death. Well, that sounds ridiculous. We're celebrating death? Who does that? Who celebrates death? We do. Because his death brought us life. His death brought us life. And when we partake of the bread, Jesus says, "This is my body broken for you." It's a representation of what we need to live off of. Food. If we go without food, it affects our ability to live. If we go too long, we won't live. And we've all seen pictures, maybe of the Holocaust or different situations of imprisonment or something where they are deprived of food, maybe in foreign countries where they don't have a lot of food. And their bodies wither away. It's sad. It's repulsive to the eye to see. Not only in people, but in animals. It's repulsive. It hurts us to see it. It would cause us to turn the station. Without the Word of God in our lives, we become like that spiritually. We become devoid of all that nourishes us. And our world is becoming like that. Our schools are becoming like that. Our workplaces are becoming like that. People don't want to be told that there are certain things that God expects for us to do, and there are certain things that he expects us not to do. I am my own boss. Don't tell me what to do. I am not a child. I don't need you to tell me what to do. Well, God's word does tell us what to do sometimes, doesn't it? Right? Why does he do that? He wants to take all the fun away from our lives so we can't do nothing. We got to be boring white bread. Boring. No. He does it because of his great and all-consuming, unconditional love. And he wants the very best for us. But he's not going to bless us when we are doing things that are going to hurt ourselves and other people. And so he gives us laws to follow, and he blesses when we follow them. He blesses when we follow them. And I've mentioned this a number of times, but it is still relevant. There was a study that was done decades ago now about a fence that was around a schoolyard. Some of you have gone to college or maybe taken psychology courses or something like that, may be familiar with this. And so they had a fence around the schoolyard with young children playing, and the children, they would just use every square inch of that play yard when that fence was up. They'd be bouncing off of that fence, probably climbing on the thing. All right? Why would they do that? Well, they knew that it was safe. But then they took the fence down. And you know what the children did? Instead of running away, they all huddled together. And they stayed to the center of that whole play yard. They wouldn't go. They wouldn't venture towards the borders because it was no longer safe. They did not feel safe. Friends, God gives us borders so that we can live safely and freely and enjoy all of his creations. Do you understand? When we throw off God's borders, when we reject his warnings, things like what happened in the Garden of Eden so long ago happen. And we fall. We go outside of God's boundaries and set laws for our lives because we don't want to be told what to do. We want to do it our own way. When we do that, we always bring trouble. And so it happened in the garden. Adam and Eve were given this beautiful place that God created, and he placed them in it. And he says, this is for you. This is all yours. All it, except for this one thing. This guy right here, this tree, don't touch it. Don't eat of this tree. Don't. That's not yours. That's not for you. But all the rest of it, that's for you. Okay? But we strayed from his warning, and we just had to eat from that tree, not one, but both of them made a choice to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Up until then, they only knew good. It's called the fall of man. And since then, we are born into sin, friends. Like it or not, we are born into sin. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish, do you? You don't have to teach them that. Well, that just comes normally. You don't have to teach a child to say no. Or to, when you say, don't touch that, okay? They want to touch it. They automatically want to touch it. Don't do, okay. You don't have to teach them that stuff. That comes naturally. That is our inbred sin tendency. We lean towards sin. Okay? But God. But God. He knows that we are prone to sin, that we are prone to wander. He knew that we needed a Savior. Friends, brothers and sisters, our families, our friends, our schools, our workplaces, our government needs a Savior. The Word of God is freedom. The Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And I'm not talking about telling the truth as opposed to lying. Okay? That's not what this means. It's not talking about telling the truth like being honest. Totally different. Okay? And the people, even Christians, use tell the truth and the truth will set you free. That's not it. That's not what that means. The truth is what? The truth is Jesus alone. That's what the truth is. And the Bible says, you shall know the truth of Jesus, and Jesus will set you free. Jesus will set you free. And I love being able to carry, the Bible says, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of them who bring what? Good news. What good news? The good news that Jesus saved. The gospel means, literally, good news. How lovely on the mountains from afar are the feet of those who bring good news. When we take the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, when we take the good news of the truth of God's word to the world, it's like planting seeds. We're in the planting part right now. We're in the preparing of the fields part of farming, if you will. We live in a farming community around us. And all the farmers are getting into their fields and preparing the fields to plant the seeds. And each one is expecting a great harvest. They hope for and they cultivate, plan on, invest in a great harvest. And the kingdom of God is no different. When we speak the word of God, we're planting seeds that will hopefully one day produce a harvest. Some of them will, some of them won't. When we take the Word of God changes people's lives. It changes our lives. It makes us into people that produce fruit for the kingdom of God. Do you know it's God's will for you in your lives, young and old, that you produce fruit for the kingdom of God? Well, what does that mean? You want apples to grow on me? No, that's not what I'm talking about. We know that, right? Produce fruit, the Bible says, in keeping with repentance. Produce fruit for the kingdom of God. For the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Ooh, that one bugs me. Yeah. Those are the things God wants to produce in our lives. And He's cultivating the soil of our souls to receive planting so that He can reap a great harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. For the Bible says, God is not willing that any should what? Perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anyone to perish without Him. Some people would say, well, why would God send someone to hell? God doesn't send anybody to hell. Let's get that straight. God doesn't send anybody to hell. All right? We send ourselves to hell by rejecting the opportunities that we have had over and over and over to receive Christ, to receive salvation. We reject Him, our souls perish forever. And as we know, in most cases, we know and believe that after this life, after this physical life, there is another life, a spiritual life that we will endure forever. And we either spend that time together with the Almighty, or we spend it apart from Him, suffering because of our rejection of Him. Don't let that be you. God doesn't want that for you. Never. Never. God wants to save you. He wants to prosper you. He wants to build you up. He wants to use you. He wants to produce fruit in your life. He wants to give you a fulfilling, joyful life that is filled with all things good. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, the Bible calls it. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. God loves you. He loves you in a way that you cannot even love yourself, that nobody else, not even your mama, can love you that way. Yeah. He sent his son, for God so loved the world. God loved the world so much. Who's the world?
Us.
You and me. In this case, it's you and me. God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son. Who's that?
Jesus.
That whosoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that scripture goes on to say, for God did not send his son into the world to do what? To condemn it. But to save the world through him. God loved you, 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 you. He loved us so much that he sent his son to be the sacrifice, to, in a sense, purchase life eternal so that we could live freely and not be bound by sin. We don't have to live lives in bondage. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. Yes, they are. Oh, I've been washed by the blood. Hallelujah. Have you been washed by the blood? Have you been washed by the blood? What does that mean? What does that mean to be washed by the blood? The blood of Jesus is so vital to the Christian faith that without it, we would not have a Christian faith. We would not have salvation. We would be forever lost in our sin apart from God. The blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary, the blood that flowed down his body onto the cross, maybe even down into the dirt. That blood is so precious. That blood is the thing that washes away our sin and makes us clean and puts us once again in right standing with God. The Bible says that without the remission of sin, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So, the blood of the Son of God, the sacrifice, the Messiah, the Savior, his blood washes us clean and wipes away forever our sin. That, friends, that is being washed in the blood of Jesus. That is true freedom, and it is the word that saves. It is the word that heals. And I am so honored to be able to take such a literally precious thing to people who need to hear it. And you have that same opportunity.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, I'm not good at that. I can't, you know, speak the word. Well, you can memorize a few scriptures. You can do that. You can do that. You can remember stories that were told in the Bible. You can tell those stories. You can tell of what God has done for you. You can tell what God has done for somebody else. Yeah. But it all right here. The Word of God is meant to go forth. Would you stand with me today? I wonder if the team would come back up there and be ready to sing that song again. All my hope is in Jesus. I want to take this opportunity to allow you to respond, us to respond, to the message of the cross, the message of the gospel, the good news. The world needs the good news. We need to fill ourselves up with the Word of God so that we can dispense it wherever we are, wherever we go, and whatever stage God puts you on. You follow? Whatever stage God puts you on, that you may speak the Word of God to. Be it at the gas station, Walmart, whatever stage God puts you on, the checkout aisle, you follow me. And commit yourself to Him. We receive your word. We receive what you have done for our salvation. And Lord, as it says in your word, to them that received Him, to those who believed, He gave them the right to become children of God. Lord, today we receive you and we believe you. Father, I pray for those that came forward this morning. I pray that you would speak to their hearts. I pray that this would be the moment, a moment that they can drive a stake in the ground and say, I am never going back. I'm never going back to that place again. From this moment, from this second forward, I'm going forward. I'm moving forward with Jesus because all my hope is in Jesus. Father, I pray that you would shed away all of the things that would cause us harm and that would separate us from you and cause us to sin. Forgive us of our sin, God. Wash us clean with your blood. And Father, help us to be faithful to take your word to those that need to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen.